Hey yo, and here we go with another edition of We Talk Wrestling with Addie and Mo. Hey yo, I'm Addie.
Hey yo, I'm Mo. We're going to be cleaning up a lot of little issues that have built up, a lot of quick hit subjects today. Hopefully I won't be echoing this episode. Sorry about that last time, folks.
Oh, shit, eh?
I believe it was Addie's fault.
Yeah, Mo's stupid enough to hear once. Imagine hearing him twice.
Yeah, well,
about everything.
But nevertheless,
I apologize.
We have you know, some frosty beverages, two beers, both of mine are currently open, drinking them. Some butter tarts here in front of me, so it's good. They
oh,
have
your
wheat
mom's
in
here?
Them. Yeah, and we have a special in studio guest to give him the opportunity to introduce himself here.
Wow,
so he's going to be echoing in all show long on the latest and greatest debates on We Talk Wrestling. Let's hit the first one. We watched
main event of WrestleMania 1, Mr. T.
Mr. T is a big guy to get in here. He's really appreciate him coming down, and hopefully he'll be better behaved than Michael P.S. Hayes.
Already he is. I mean, I don't know that you could. I mean, he's spray painting my dog, for God's sake.
Yeah, that was a little touch.
Yeah, it was. So let's look at the
let's look at the roundtable we just watched. Let's open with that.
Oh yes, let's look at that. The Classics on Demand, WWE Classics on Demand, had their Legends Roundtable for the month of July, which with Michael P.S. Hayes, James Julius Caesar Dillon, hosted by Mean Gene Okerlund, had Jim Ross and Kevin Nash chiming in for the first time.
On the
Legends
NWO
Roundtable. And the topic was the NWO,
but you know
now
what?
15 years. After the Bash at the Beach.
Yeah, 15 years after the Bash at the Beach. But the truth is, while it was the Legends Roundtable on the NWO with the official title, I like to call it the Kevin Nash Bullshit Hour.
Yes, of the hour.
Of the minute, really, on that show.
Well, I mean, he made himself look good. I mean, what you had, basically, is you had...
It's almost like he's a worker.
Well, I mean, let's just break it down. You had Gene Okerlund.
Boom, 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 boom. Break it down.
Mm-hmm.
Break
the host.
Break down.
What? Go ahead and give it to me.
Yeah.
Break down. Breakdown's all right. It's all right. Okay.
That's right.
Yeah.
Remember when Chris Jericho had a finishing move? He called it the breakdown. It's now known as the stroke.
Yes, that's right. But, so anyway, Mean Gene was the host here, and so Mean Gene doing just his regular, like, you know, fuck it, hosting duties. You had, and I'll go...
that beer tasted good.
Left to right. We'll go left to right. James Julius Caesar Dillon here, who...
That's good, too.
Didn't have a lot of facts.
No.
But, like, his facts were wrong. But he believed them. You know, he wasn't trying to bullshit.
No, he wasn't trying to bullshit.
He just was incorrect in a lot of the things he was saying for whatever reason. You had Michael Hayes, who was completely useless, just chiming in, much like he did on our show last on Sunday.
Well, he knew rumors, and every now and then something would be like, somebody would say, on this Monday Night Nitro, this happened, and he'd go, that was in Worcester, or something
he'd say,
added
like,
nothing.
Diesel was known as Big Daddy Cool. You know, like, yeah, and it was just, the thing was,
but it was a great episode. We're not saying don't run.
Oh, it was great. It was great. I'm just saying, Michael Hayes, he was a guy that was in WWF at the time that heard a lot of rumors about WCW that weren't true and have obviously spanned out and come out and they're not true, but he never heard that they weren't true.
Yeah.
And
so
then,
what's James Dillon's excuse for being wrong so much?
Huh?
And he was there for a portion of it. He was, you know, working
well, but with J.J. Dillon, J.J. Dillon would spew out facts. But with Michael Hayes, he'd be like, you know, I heard that Eric Bischoff did this. And Kevin Nash would be like, no. And Jim Ross would be like, well, no, I believe that's not to be the case. Because Jim Ross is someone that keeps up on stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
So Jim Ross in this whole thing was really the voice of reason. He was really actually the host, kind of off to the side versus in the middle. Because he was someone that was really had his nose to the grindstone of everything. And really, I mean, as the head of talent relations, was the second most powerful person in the company as this whole Monday Night Wars were going on
mm-hmm.
at the WWF. So, and then you had Kevin Nash, of course, in the NWO and just, you know, overall charming guy. So,
well, he is a charming guy.
Yeah.
Nobody can deny that.
Oh, gosh, no.
You know? It was a really, really good show. You know, a lot of... It's just interesting to revisit that because it was such a big era, you know. But a lot, like you said, a lot of the time, Nash was doing what he could to make himself look good, and Ross was trying to chime in with what he knew as he remembered it. And,
yeah.
On the Legends Roundtable, I wouldn't say the best one, but...
It's not my favorite one, but, I mean, it was a very interesting topic, and it was very interesting to me that they
took... Well, it's a great show. It's always great.
Well, it was interesting to me that they took a whole show and were willing to center it around the NWO.
What's interesting to me, though, is that they only had the one guy from the NWO. They could have even had more people who were... a guy like Hayes, I mean, why is he there? Jim Ross, at least, I can sort of understand. Dylan, sort of, I mean...
Well, Dylan, of course. J.J. Dylan was the head of the executive committee of World Championship Wrestling.
Yeah.
For God's sakes. I mean, he was an on-air character in
He was an on-air character this time.
I mean, honestly, the only other person you could get, and instead of J.J. Dylan, who I would have gotten, especially in what they got to talking about in the show... And someone that's there is Arn Anderson.
Yeah, Arn Anderson would
I would have loved to have seen Arn Anderson and Kevin Nash talk about the Horseman parody.
Especially since that was a big portion of the show.
With no politics worth to deal with.
Yeah.
None of that bullshit that they need to hash out anymore.
It was hilarious, because if you've seen that parody, which you should see if you haven't, it was funny. It absolutely offended a lot of people at the same time.
Ah.
Both in the fan base and also within the industry.
Yeah.
It did. Dude, I remember being online.
Yeah,
I remember being online the night that it happened
and seeing
all these people
complaining
about it. Now,
cucumbers out of their ass.
I'm not complaining about it. I'm just saying. There was a lot of people upset. I mean, Jim Ross said, I know it's a work, and even I got upset watching this.
But the look on Kevin Nash's face when they started talking about it, he just started laughing.
Oh, yeah.
And of course, why wouldn't he? It was funny.
It was funny.
And that's what it was meant to be.
He said, I had permission to do this. I didn't know I was upsetting anybody, Arn. I didn't know I was upsetting you. He's like, you all saw me in the makeup chair. Hell,
Arn Anderson's cooler.
He's like, the cooler I brought out was actually Arn Anderson's cooler. I actually grabbed it from a car outside in the parking lot.
The styrofoam cooler belonged to Arn Anderson, for God's sake. So that's the, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, no, really a good show, a lot of fun. A lot of interesting just to see how someone like Nash tried to change the facts.
Oh, yeah, I mean, what was it that they
Goldberg
talked about?
Goldberg and...
Well, they talked about Goldberg and the Finger Poke of Doom.
Finger Poke of Doom.
And the Finger Poke of Doom turned out to be, well, what they needed to do is because the streak was a dead end. The streak wasn't going to work forever.
Didn't have legs.
What they say. Didn't have legs. They couldn't be the streak forever. So what they needed to do, they broke the streak, and then they needed to form a bunch of heels, like Vince has always done, is build up a bunch of heels just to feed to the big baby face, right? And he goes, so then what happened is... Bret Hart and Jeff Jarrett, I'm going, what?
Yeah.
So they went from January 4th, 99, to, like, December 30th, 1999.
Yeah, and then he said, that, you know, that he's at, hurt the ligaments in his hand, punching out the limo windshield. Even though there was a bat there, he said he was out for 9 months. I don't think he was out that long. I bet you it was half that long, about half that length. It was not 9 months. I'm not sure the exact amount.
I think it might have been, actually.
It wasn't. I guarantee you it wasn't out that long. But again, it's just jumping around.
No, I'm pretty sure that Goldberg punched the thing after, who was it? It was either Scott Hall or Bret Hart in January of 2000.
And you think it was back in September? I don't think so.
No, I think, I think he wrestled his first match in September.
I think I will,
but I'm pretty sure that the big Goldberg heel turn, remember that?
Yes,
by
of course.
Bruce, that happened in, like, July.
Yeah, that's true.
So, he didn't fight at the fucking, in Vancouver.
No.
The New Blood Rising.
No.
So that would have made his first match, if I'm correct, in September.
That's possible.
So that's what I'm saying. I said, I don't know for sure. I will be more than
either
happy.
Either way, the point being they're just moving around the facts and the dates and all this stuff.
Blatant.
And really, he's talking about, you know, a lot of the times when they would bring up something that was kind of burying the company, the NWO at that point,
mm-hmm.
and considering he was a booker, he would just, you know, kind of shut his mouth and not say anything. You know, just kind of wait for the next moment to say something that looks good. You know, talk about things like some of the great Nash moments in this. Or Nash sitting there talking about how, you know, he left WWE for WCW, and how he was kind of upset doing that because he liked the WWE because it had the higher work rate, and you know, he enjoyed having the higher work rate.
Well,
stuff
of course.
Like that.
I mean, well, yeah, that was a little. That was
Kevin
little,
Nash. Folks.
Yeah, there was a little digs about that. Well, you know, Nash, like the great work rate and all that bullshit. But
yeah,
I mean, nah,
there's a lot of little Nash. But yeah, we're not saying don't watch the show. I'm saying watch every Legends Roundtable. What's your favorite one, actually? Do you have an all-time favorite? Or number one or two? Or
you know, I personally don't. I'm just trying to think. I mean,
I like the one of Southern Wrestling a lot.
The Canadian one was good.
The Canadian one was good. I like the best gimmicks one.
What was
or
it worst called?
Gimmicks worst
was. Gimmicks one. And the Heat Seekers one was
yes,
good.
Yes, yes.
You know, but yeah, just, I mean, there's been a lot of great guests. Like, that's why when Bret Hart was on there and they were talking about the Canadian wrestling. And they talked
about
rivalry.
The Pat Patterson story with the Sheik, the Crown Royal.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Well, and Michael Hayes had a great Sheik story, too.
Yeah, exactly.
So,
exactly.
I mean, there's been some, I mean, the original.
Sheiky baby.
Well, the original roundtable was based on two superstars.
Mm-hmm.
So they would talk about, like, JYD and Terry Funk in one, let's
yep.
say. You know, Ric Flair and Jerry Lawler in another
they
one,
had
right?
Andre and somebody. Who was Andre with?
Mm-hmm.
Who was Andre with? I can't recall, but.
Hogan, maybe.
I think it might have been Hogan, yeah.
But anyway, they did that, and so then it kind of morphed into other topics, right? So, I mean, you had, guys like...
Black History Month, they had an episode on the...
Yeah, with Tony Atlas and...
Michael Hayes was there, so
he had to be. He had to be there, but Teddy Long was
Teddy
there.
Teddy Long, yeah.
You know, and I think
remember
the
episode
Rose
with
thing?
Eric Bischoff where he put down Scott Hall.
Bischoff, they talked about the Monday Night Wars.
And he talked about how Scott Hall came into a room, and as soon as he would come into a room, you'd get the feeling you just didn't matter. Remember that was his quote.
With who?
Eric Bischoff said about Scott Hall: as soon as Scott Hall would come into the room, you'd get the feeling you just didn't matter. And it was really buried
Scott
in the
Hall?
Gut. Yeah, yeah. You don't recall him saying that about
I don't
him?
Remember.
I'm not saying they were on the panel together. I'm saying he said
no, no,
about
I don't remember him saying that
no,
about
really?
Scott
this
Hall.
No, really? This is one of the most, I think, one of the most interesting episodes.
I thought he was saying that about Bill Watts. No, really, I did.
Was Bill Watts, and Bill Watts is there for the Southern History one, so, I mean, Ric Flair, of
Bill
course,
was,
there.
Was Bill
about,
Watts there for Black History
Month? What was Ric Flair talking about? What was that one he was on?
Oh, Flair did a lot of them. Him and Mick Foley.
Yeah, that's right.
They talked about Harley.
That's right. That's right.
There's tons. That's a great 60 show.
60 minutes every night.
That is a great show, though. I mean, really, it's you do.
And then he asked Mick Foley to play his bar tab.
That's true, and Foley did. In quarters.
All right. Do you want to hit a topic? You want me to hit another one? What do you want to do here?
Go right. I'm talking about. There's one thing. Speaking of Ric Flair, I don't have a lot to talk about on TNA. It's just a quick little thing. But Spike TV talking about rebranding and moving now they're in the male 18 to 34 demographic is their target.
I keep talking. I'm eating a butter tart.
Yeah. Don't say hi to my mom. But it's now they're looking at the what is it? It was the Promax / BDA marketing conference that they had trade show. They're talking about they're going to move to the male and female demographic 18 to 49. So, and I mean, hell, a lot of it is fucking CSI, which I'm pretty sure that appeals to that and female 18 to 49 anyway. So that's one thing, but I think like Mansers may be, you know, gone.
On, it speaks a little bit on TNA. It also speaks obviously largely on their losing of UFC, right? They lose that property.
And that's the
and
crux.
And do they bother to replace it? Then,
No.
And you don't, well, then does that kind of, that almost makes TNA, it makes you wonder about, are they on an island all to themselves, or do they simply change their philosophy of trying to be a more, I don't know, TV-14 type of philosophy? What is, you know, what are they going for, or are they just not a fit for the network at all anymore?
Well, why don't they just call all their women bitches and sluts all the time? Because that would be awesome for that male and female, you know, 18 to 49.
Yeah, they should start doing that.
What it does is it yeah, exactly. Without UFC, now it really does turn sort of TNA into more of a niche. Now, TNA still does above network average,
mm-hmm.
right? So, I mean, I would be thinking that someone that's bringing your network average up versus someone that's bringing it down, you know, they're not going to be looking at you so quickly, regardless of whether you fit the mold of the, you know, the whatever the brand
okay, well,
is going to be,
but,
right?
But that,
so,
that depends on a couple of issues. Number one, you look at the, yes, the, okay, but what is the expense of this show compared to how much above the network average they are? Because I believe this last show did a 1.3. And but the network average is about a 0.85, I believe. They're not really quite, they're just below the top 20. I'm not sure how many cable stations are out there, if it's 20 or 30, you know. But
four.
Oh, is it four cable stations?
Four, brother.
Oh, okay. But nevertheless, you know, if you look at the costs and the expenses and how much of that is fitted by Spike TV compared to how much above the average they are, but also as you look at it, obviously they're not doing this going, you know what we're going to do? We're going to change from being 18 to 34 males and go 18 to 49 male and females. So because essentially since the 18 to 34 males are the highest demographic for advertisers, so we're not going to look at that and continue to want. If we can go 18 to 30, to 49 male and females instead now and continue to be 0.85, that'll be a success. Now, what they're saying with this is we've reached a maximum we can reach with a 0.85 or whatever it is their average is at 18 to 34 looking for this demographic. This new demographic we're going to look at, we're believing we can bring our network average up to a 1, 1, 2, 1, 3, and track the top 20, the top 10. That's their goal. So if they do successfully do that, and all of a sudden Spike or TNA or Impact Wrestling is no longer that far above the network average,
mm-hmm.
then it really starts to stick out.
Well, perhaps. And then we'll cross, I guess, that bridge
It'll
when they
while,
come
but
to
that
it.
Is obviously the goal.
Yeah, that's the goal, but I think the goal is to bring, I guess, TNA up with it. So, I mean, let's wait and see how that happens.
Well,
I said, I'll cross that bridge.
Impact Wrestling would have to start being a good product then as well, though.
Well, but yeah, but we're talking, I don't want to get into that now, is all I'm saying, because you're talking about TNA in 2011's rating of 1.3, let's just say.
Okay.
You know,
so that's an anomaly,
versus
really.
Spike TV's, or whatever they're going to call themselves, rating in, let's say, 2012, 2013, 14, right? Because
mm-hmm.
it's going to take a while for that branding
Absolutely
to kind of
well.
Come, right? So if TNA's rating stays stagnant at the same, all right, maybe you got a problem. But we'll cross that bridge when we come to it. All I'm saying is that right now, with them being geared, the network being geared towards men,
mm-hmm.
that was a huge drive to TNA's favor, right?
Absolutely.
That was a huge thing. And now they're losing that.
Mm-hmm.
And so now there's more pressure on them to, as you said, to maintain the rating or grow that rating in order to be relevant on a station that isn't going to be a natural fit for them.
The other issue is, will they give a more penetration in the market if they go into hotel rooms? Will they now be on it?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but seriously, I mean, they're not in as many homes as the USA networks. Obviously, that's another goal, and it might be easier to do that with the new demographics, and maybe that'll help TNA some.
Is that where the network penetrated?
Yes, it is. And, man, I'm looking so forward to that show coming back.
Yeah, I know.
But the other issue is they could simply say to them, we're not going to spend all this money into you. We want to keep you on television, but this person that we've been behind, Hulk Hogan, Sting, all these big contracts that we're sharing a portion of, maybe they'll just kick them out and find that they're still doing a 1.1 with a much
mm-hmm.
Cheaper roster.
Who knows?
And therefore the company, because I think they could get rid of almost everybody and the rating wouldn't change. Because certainly when you brought them in, the rating didn't change.
Well, you know, but I mean, much like Paul Heyman, if it was up to me and presumably if it was up to you, I don't want to speak for you, but I think I can here, is that if you're over 40, chop your fucking legs off.
Yeah, exactly. The only guy, 40-year-old, that I would really consider keeping would be, I'd say, Bully Ray, Kurt Angle, Christopher Daniels.
Yes. Yeah.
that's about it, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so, I think all those people would be safe under Heyman as well. But
yeah.
Especially Daniels, because even though Daniels is, you know, is 40, it doesn't, you know.
Yeah.
He didn't seem 40,
it's a different
40,
kind
right?
of 40.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a different kind of 40. So, yeah, I mean, that's it. I mean, even a guy like Jeff Jarrett, who is, what, I think 42, 43, something like that?
Really?
Yeah. You think he's older?
I guess he's been in the business since 16 on USWA. It just, I don't know, it just seems like he's been around for 80 years.
He's been around forever, but I think he's about that.
Yeah, okay.
And he can still entertain
well,
have
still
some
work,
good matches.
Right?
He could still, I guess. And he can still be an entertaining character.
Kind of.
But for the cost and how much he can draw, you know, I mean, I wouldn't want him in there.
What's the cost?
Well, I can't imagine he would be cheap.
To Spike TV, what's the cost?
Well...
Jeff Jarrett, what is the cost to Spike TV?
Jeff
nothing.
Jarrett, I mean,
nothing.
I would hope that, I don't
zero.
Know, maybe he could be another, I'm just saying, I'm trying to think of another 40-year-old, maybe he would stick around for that reason, because the cost is very little,
and
so
he,
that
I
would
think
be
he,
one more, so that'd be four now.
But I wouldn't have him on TV, that's what I'm talking about, with Heyman and Trump, the 40,
yeah.
You know, he could be an employee, but...
He could work backstage.
Yeah, of course, which is what he, I mean, he does, it's his company, but he can't, no, he just shouldn't be on TV.
All right, well, you want to hit another subject here, or what do you want to do? You want me to throw one out there?
Sure, what the fuck.
All right, let's go back to Kevin Nash, because we were talking about him.
Okay.
He currently has a downside guarantee with the WWE due to his Legends deal.
Well, it's not really a Legends deal, I guess.
Well, that's the thing, is it is a Legends deal, but it isn't. It's significantly higher and structured differently than anybody else's. And he's a little frustrated... Because despite the fact that he's getting paid quite well to sit at home, he believes that after the big response
reaction,
that he got at Royal Rumble, that he should be on TV in some fashion. He hasn't been on TV in any fashion.
No.
Outside of this round table, which doesn't count. He hasn't in any way had a chance to capitalize on that momentum, and he's a little frustrated by that. And I'm just wondering your thoughts on quick hit subjects, your thoughts on his frustration and whether or not they're founded. Well, then I should be happy.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. I'm thinking, like, you know, you should just be happy. You're making this money and you're sitting at home.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know what? Well, no, I want.
Remember, this is a guy who down the round table said that he always believes in not spending much money. He thinks you should be able to pump gas and still pay his bills.
Well, yes, that's
anyway,
true.
No, go ahead.
But no, I mean, it's one of those things that I just think that. You know, with that, I tend to agree. He got a big reaction, but is he going to get a big reaction if he comes out the next time?
Well, it's a lot of diminishing returns. We've seen this often in the nostalgia pop, right?
Yeah, that's what it is.
It is. It is a nostalgia pop. But and Booker T got a big reaction that night too, and he gets fuck all now.
Well,
not fuck all, but you know what I mean. In comparison.
I don't know, but now he's a commentator, and I think he gets
yeah.
the same ovation as a commentator that he gets every week, the same the Jerry Lawler one that
yeah.
he used to get. Jerry Lawler gets a different, because he's been around forever, and it's the legend and trenchness of him, but that Lawler used to get, or that JR used to get before, and that's what Booker T gets now, so it's different. I'll tell you that, you talk about Booker T.
Yeah.
Fuck, I'd throw Nash as a commentator to see what he's got on Raw. Why not?
He'd absolutely, well, or he could just replace Booker T because Booker T is not working out.
What do you mean he's not working out?
He's not good at it, dude. He might entertain you.
He does entertain me.
Yeah, but he's not, that doesn't mean he's good at it.
No, he definitely entertains me. You know what, and I will battle anybody to the end for that. All it is people bitch about the fact that all he does is these cliches, and he's talking about, you know, just in he's not really watching, he's just, you know, talking, you know, the baby face makes a comeback, and he makes a cliche, and I'm going, well, okay, so.
But here's the thing, here's what you're talking about, you say a lot of announcers over history have done that, but they do it at the right time and use the right cliche at the right time, and that's what he fails at. So
that's part of the charm to me. It really is to me. That is part of the charm. Is that
well,
he
this
just,
last weekend
he
they were particularly horrible in the Money in the Bank Lawler, Cole, and Booker T.
Yes.
And coincidentally, on that night, they weren't produced by Vince McMahon as normal. They were actually produced by Stephanie, and I do wonder if that's something she's going to be good at or continue to do.
Well, you know,
something she can grow into. What do you think on that?
Well, I think the board of directors are going to watch that closely. She's not good at that. I mean, you got to pick your strengths there. I mean, she's going to try and she's going to do. But I honestly, I mean, like you said, what were the announcers on the Money in the Bank? We talked about them last week. Or 2 weeks ago, almost now.
Almost a week and a half, yeah.
Cole, Booker, and Lawler. So I told you, I said, you could have Gordon Solie, you know, producing those guys. And I don't think you would have got much better than what you got. So
okay.
It's...
Well, I will say this. You say it's a matter of picking your strengths. She also sucked at being head of creative. So I'm not sure what her strength is yet.
She's a public face. She's a promoter. She is a promoter. She does have that ability to go out and I mean you got to remember for years she was in the advertising department before she got into the creative. She was running the advertising department when it was that they had to sell their own ads.
That's right.
Back in the day, and that's the Super Soakers and stuff, you know, where you'd see on now USA takes over that. That's part of the agreement and the deal. But that's what she was in charge of. So she knows how to sell the product.
Okay.
You know, so that's what she's good at, really.
Okay, that's fine. You know what, coincidentally, that's something that people said Shane was good at as well. Even though they say have different personalities, when they would try and break into new markets, he was good at selling the product. And that type of thing.
Well, the thing, of course, because, see, the thing with that is, and that I agree with that, because that's fundamentally the family business, despite what Vince says, well, it's not a family business, blah, 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 but it is their family livelihood that they've all been around, and so they should be able, the kids should be able to fucking sell the family business.
Absolutely.
So, but, no, I mean, well, what else do you think?
Well, okay. Mr. T, I didn't know he was going to jump in on me there. Anyways, what I was going to say
is... Don't give me no back talk, sucker!
Seriously, but I just want... I have a point of view here. I'd like to...
Get up, fool!
Okay.
Get up, fool!
Okay.
Get up, fool!
Okay.
Get up, fool!
Jeez, well, Mr. T really, you know, he showed you.
I thought we were friends.
First name, Mr. Middle name, period. Last name, T.
Don't you forget it.
All right, anyways, back to Kevin Nash. I just want to say this.
Shut up, fool.
He could be on one, you could promote him for one match on a pay-per-view. Just say he's coming back, cuts one promo, says I'm coming back against, like a Mark Henry who's been killing people. Well, here's this big, you know, 7-foot giant going, you know what, I don't like what you've been doing, I could do this. And then you have a Mark Henry go over on him. I don't think that's a bad use of him. You could do that at one time.
Mark Henry versus Kevin Nash?
Yeah, I think you could promote it.
And
he squishes. Henry essentially squishes him and continues his push, right?
Yeah, I guess. I just think, I can agree to you.
Bret Hart and Shawn Michaels aren't in the company, so he's not going to have a good match against anybody. Though he's back in the WWE, so his work rate will go back up.
My thing, though, is you do at and again, it I want to say it's too late now. It's too late for right now. I do the WrestleMania build maybe to a tag, and then maybe that spills off to say a one-on-one in the May pay-per-view or something.
Okay.
I throw a heel out there. Wade Barrett, maybe, against Kevin Nash. I'm just, Mark Henry does nothing for me, because Mark Henry has been, and they're showing the video packages, I mean, about how young he looked back then, but he's been around since 96.
Sure.
So
he's doing well. He's an interesting character right now. He's
he
got
doesn't
momentum
need
right
that,
now.
And he doesn't need...
Why not? He's squished Kane, he's squished Big Show. I just think there's another big guy who can stand up for the big guys. He squishes them, right?
I can follow that logic. I just think that you get more bang for your diesel buck by say, like a Sheamus or a Wade Barrett or you know what I mean? Or somebody, Alberto Del Rio, somebody younger, yeah, I guess is where I'm going with that. Because I guess with Mark Henry, he's got those two in there. He's got the, you talked about how with Christian, how Christian has this unbelievable 12 years with the business, with the company. Well, Mark Henry's got even more than that. And so
he's 38 years old.
If never kissed a girl. But if there's goodwill there, you're going to get it with Mark Henry, right?
Okay, I mean, but here's my point on this, though. If he goes against a Sheamus, he goes against a Del Rio, Barrett, whatever.
Diesel you're talking about.
Yeah, Diesel. Yeah, okay. Kevin Nash goes against them. You know, you're not going to get a good match anyways. So now you kind of expose them and not getting a good match.
Well, I think, I think they can keep their pants on.
But he's not going to get a good match with Henry either. But it's not going to matter if Henry essentially destroys him because that's a role of a monster.
Right.
Which is what basically you do. I just think that he doesn't... Henry's the expectations of the match are low.
So
I don't think he's exposed that much.
So if Del Rio destroys him?
I don't think he
would. I know
do
you're
that.
Saying, and I understand what you're saying. I understand your point is that the match ain't going to be good.
No matter
regardless,
what.
Regardless, right?
Yeah.
And so you I guess you lose less.
I think you just
Mark
get
Henry,
more
Mark Henry not having him. Mark Henry not having a good match. My problem's going to anyway. So,
I don't think Del Rio's
you know
going
mean?
To destroy him. And Del Rio would beat him maybe, but Henry could be. Henry could, like he did with Show, come across.
I don't think anybody's destroying Kevin Nash.
Well, you know what? Henry didn't technically destroy top to bottom Big Show during that match, but at the end he came over. He went over big. He went over strong.
Yeah.
So I don't.
Well,
just,
but, you could, but you could do that with Del Rio too.
I think it's a little more difficult.
I don't know. I mean, the Ricardo smash. I mean, it would could be chicanery. It could be different.
Yeah.
But speaking of which,
sure.
The return of Ricardo.
Yeah, that was great.
At the tournament. I can't believe we forgot
him.
That last year. I mean,
yeah, no, because he's just so good in his role.
I begged for it at Money in the Bank, and now he's back, and that's just tremendous. Sorry, yeah. that is the quickest of quick hits. I just thought I wanted to hit that.
No,
so.
That's good. That's good stuff. Okay, I'm going to hit another one. And, there's been you talk about the restructuring within the company.
Okay, the company is restructuring.
We talked about that a couple weeks ago, couple episodes in a row, about the promotions for Michael P.S. Hayes and for... Is it Kevin Dunn?
Geewertz.
Or Geewertz was... that's right. Kevin Dunn is actually ahead of Geewertz. Well, there's somebody else who's been hired who is actually above them. And he's the showrunner, which is the role that essentially Vince McMahon has been doing. His name is Ian Jones, the new showrunner. He is ahead. He is below... The company structure right now goes Vince McMahon, Stephanie, and Triple H, Ian Jones, then Geewertz, and... Then Dunn.
I met Ian
actually
Jones.
Dunn might have been Dunn is ahead of him. So
oh,
it goes.
Fuck, of course Dunn's ahead.
Yeah,
of
so
him.
It goes. Yeah, so Vince McMahon, Stephanie, and you should see him do that.
No, I'm ahead of him.
The Jim Cornette.
I'm ahead of Ian Jones.
Dunn. But so Vince McMahon, Hunter Stephanie, Kevin Dunn, then this fella Ian Jones.
So what is Ian Jones's job
the
again?
Showrunner.
Right, the showrunner. The headliner, the main event.
That's right. And
the
then,
icon.
And then Geewertz and then Kosky is below Kosky.
So what
and
now?
Is below Hayes and Geewertz. Kosky, and who's the fellow in charge of Raw?
Dave Kapoor.
Kapoor.
Robinson.
That's right. So
what, pray tell, does a showrunner do, Mo?
I don't know. It's something Vince McMahon has largely looked after, though. I mean, so, I mean, I essentially, it's probably something similar to... To that, I don't know because I don't work in the entertainment industry. I just know that he is that high a position of power.
What about the
an outsider brought
entertainment
in,
industry?
An outsider who's been brought in is this high a position of power ahead of these people.
He is. Actually.
He is. Listen, here's the thing. He has absolutely no product knowledge.
No.
So whatever his apparently he has none.
So he's an outsider that's been brought in.
Completely outside, no product knowledge at all, at this high position, ahead of a Michael Hayes in the company. If you're a showrunner, remember how we talk about how Vince would be backstage, and regardless of somebody else was producing or directing a segment, he'd still be sitting there making sure there was continuity throughout the show.
So important.
That was his show. So I imagine the showrunner is something similar to that.
Did you, they had on the WWE corporate website... The introduction of Ian Jones. Did you see that?
No, I didn't.
Okay. Because he's the showrunner, you said. And it's true, because he's a as you said, I mean, he doesn't have, he's not from wrestling, he's not from anywhere.
He, like, ran a cab company or something like that.
Yeah, he's a complete outsider. So at the corporate, the conference call?
But if you're a showrunner, it doesn't sound like you're sitting there in charge of advertising.
Well, no, but
it sounds like you're sitting there in the production of the show.
They did feel the need to, I don't want to call it a press conference, but the quarterly conference call where they introduce him? They said, okay, Ian Jones, right? And they're like, you're right. He said he used to run a cab company, and now he is a complete outsider. Here he is. And so they interviewed him or whatever. He got to talk, and he said, you people, you know who I am, but you don't know why I'm here. Complete outsider.
He's so proud of himself. You should see the way he's laughing and smiling over himself over there.
I'm a beautiful person.
Well, I think though, will this be any thoughts though? I mean, disastrous? Do we not know? It's just a strange maneuver to me to bring in somebody in that.
What a maneuver!
Yeah.
It's really though. I don't know. Who knows? I mean, it's strange. You're right. It's strange. part of it is going to be that. What the fuck is a showrunner?
Well, and Vince McMahon is slowing down, so it's one less thing.
Yeah,
he
but
has
what
to take
the fuck
of.
Is a showrunner? Though,
I don't
me.
Know.
Like if I knew what a showrunner was, I could tell you could an outsider
Google
do
it
right
now.
Google showrunner.
Yeah, seriously, swear to God.
Okay, you know
Google
what I'm gonna
show.
I just
runner.
Googled showrunner, and you know what it said? Meep. But I will actually look up the headliner, the showrunner here.
You know, either way, the name showrunner actually looks like it's not an important position. Just that it sounds like a dumb position. But obviously it's not. It's obviously a very, very high-level position, despite having the name showrunner. Anyway,
there's nothing there.
You see anything there, no?
No,
just
nothing.
Just Google
there.
Showrunner. Don't fucking
I did.
Google.
I did. Fuck stick.
No, you should Google showrunner WWE. Take out the WWE and just Google showrunner, okay? All right, yeah. Showrunner. There you go. Apparently, the showrunner probably runs the show. That would be my guess.
Really?
No. Just a guess. Not Sherlock over
okay,
here.
Okay, showrunner is a term of art originating in United States Canadian television, referring to the person who is responsible for the day-to-day operations of a television series, although such persons generally are credited as an executive producer.
There you go.
The term is also occasionally applied to people in the television industries of other countries, unlike films, blah, blah, blah. So traditionally, chief executive responsible for the show's production.
There you go.
So there you go.
There you go.
So financing to an honorific with actual management duties. The term showrunner was created to identify the producer who actually held the ultimate management and creative authority for the program.
There you go.
So it sounds, like I said, like an executive producer type thing.
Yeah.
So
any thoughts now that we know what it is on their hire an outsider who has no product knowledge?
No.
No? Okay.
I mean, because... I Kevin Dunn didn't have any when he started.
And he sucks.
No, Kevin Dunn's more good than bad.
Yeah.
Kevin Dunn is done, no pun intended.
No, I'm pretty sure douche or no douche that he got a douche label.
Oh, he is a douche.
Don't get
me wrong, but he has done more good than bad. If you were to put in the history of the company right now, he was douching it up because it was. Not giving people what they wanted to see. If you had asked me douche or no douche in 1995, I would have given you the exact same answer. If you'd asked me douche or no douche in 1999, different answer, right? Because when you have the pulse, you're good,
mm-hmm.
And you captivate the pulse. Right now, they're starting to captivate the pulse, perhaps, but they haven't. So.
Get up, Paul.
Thank you very much, Mr. T. Finally, you know what? He spoke in properly. Okay, let's
let him in here.
Okay, let's talk about. We're talking about the creative. We're talking about the restructuring of that system and this new fella.
He came through my doggy door.
Let's talk about the fact that soap opera on TV, daytime soaps.
Right, has moved to the web.
Yeah, they've essentially died. Many.
No, well, they've all moved to the web.
Yeah,
that's what's happened is there was a few of those programs.
Well,
and
a few
I don't
of them have been canceled and a few of them moved to the West.
No, but they haven't been canceled. The ones, the big ones that were canceled, and I don't know any of their names, so don't even ask me.
All
if
My
they,
Children, General
yeah,
Hospital,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
These ones?
They've moved to the web now.
Okay.
And they're going to stay the same production, they've said, same cast, same res, same everything. They're just now on the web.
Well, there is
so,
one change I do know because there may have been a few of these ones that have been around.
There may have been. Car matey.
There might. You know what, mate? Did anybody actually ever hear our Outback Jack interview?
I hope so.
Oh, fuck, that was great.
He beat the shit out of a lot of people. I had no idea,
including Osama bin Laden. He
yes,
that
well,
night.
Exactly.
The night of Obama and he brought
Obama
the
bin Laden.
Don't make me mad. Sorry.
Yeah. Don't, Mr. T will fuck you up.
He will. He will. Anyways,
midget
but, yeah.
or no midget.
There has been some, of course, like you say, General Hospital, All My Children, Days of My Lives, whatever these ones are that are bigger ones. There's also been some cancellation on some smaller ones. There are more soap opera writers available, and WWE is scrambling to snap up as many as they can.
Mm-hmm. Well, what happens
and when we're talking about the episodic nature of the endings, the cliffhanger endings, that is said to already be the influence of the soap opera writers they brought in.
Well, and
so I want to know your opinion on more soap opera writers with no product knowledge or wrestling history or understanding of how to draw money, but nevertheless some understanding, though, of how to do good television, perhaps, or at least television that is has that cliffhanger ending and wants, gets you to want to come in the next week.
Part of it is also, the other thing is also that the other influence of the soap opera writers is the conflict. When they're talking about tag teams that hate each other and stuff, the TNA bullshit is because apparently in soap operas,
everybody hates each other.
All the couples, are having some sort of problem and everybody hates each other. There's a thing there. One thing I will say with the soap opera writer, if it is their influence, it's great, and I tend to think it might be, is that because you see this kind of in the soap opera deal, is that right now when you talk about Punk's gone with the title.
Yeah.
And now Hunter has relieved Vince of the duties. And but that will overlap those two things.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of two stories, but then they're meshed together in one story, so it's just kind of two really, offspring branches of the main issue, right? So that kind of plays and ties together, so that part I like about it. But I kind of tend to think that is a soap opera influence. But in terms of the as you said, the no product knowledge and everything, it's what do you expect, really?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm kind of been at peace.
I
with
suppose
that for
the
a while.
Ad writers have product knowledge, but it just it's very worrisome to me. I mean,
one of them does.
One of them does. Yeah. It's very worrisome to me. I mean, I let's see how this turns out. But
what do you mean worrisome? How is it worrisome to you? I don't understand.
Well, I can explain that to you then.
Please.
It's worrisome to me because I enjoy what they've been doing lately. Mr. T, please don't interrupt me here.
Quit your jibber jabber.
Fuck you.
Don't make me mad.
No, I'm sorry. I don't. You know what? Just shut up for a minute, though, Mr. T. Jesus Christ.
I pity the fool.
What? You pity me?
I pity the fool.
Okay. I got nothing else to say. He keeps interrupting me.
Okay.
What was it you asked me?
You had said, why is it worrisome?
Okay,
it's worrisome.
Why it's worrisome for me because
please.
I enjoy the product has been here recently. And when I see people with no product knowledge coming in, I think that I'm a person who enjoys wrestling matches. Okay?
Wrestling matters?
Here's the thing. Wrestling matches. I like to see a good 15-minute row on the television, a couple times a week, and I'm worried if we go into the soap opera role. That's an expression for a fight.
Really?
Yes.
From the 20s?
I'm from Britain, I think.
Oh.
Don't make me mad!
Anyways. But I like to see the wrestling matches. And I saw on
the
TNA.
Row.
I see on TNA, you talk about that. That a good role on television. Yeah, I like to watch that. I like to watch a good fight. I like to watch a, but when I see this,
I thought they were fish eggs.
Oh, they're not too.
Roe, yeah.
But I don't eat those.
Okay.
Except for your mom. Anyways, what was I saying?
All you're saying is it's worrisome to you because you have liked what the current television product.
Well, I've just liked it recently,
been.
But I'm just worried they'll move away from actual on-screen. You look at the soap opera mentality of a Vince Russo, who does have that, and how much actual fucking wrestling do we get when he's in charge?
Well, but
and if they move into that, that's what worries me. I don't want to see too much of the soap opera stuff.
Let me give you the worrisome. You're worried.
That's my worry.
You're worried that you like what they're doing now, and that
but
you're worried
that
they're going to move
from,
away. See, now, and my counter-argument to that...
I know what your counter-argument is.
Okay.
I can't dispute
what is that?
That if these people have already had influence over what I've liked over the last month.
That's what I'm saying, yes.
Yeah.
This
I know
isn't
that.
A new thing, right? So this is what's been happening, and...
But they've had CM Punk. That's the thing.
Well, sure. No, and that's... Absolutely. No, I and I said, I'm not disagreeing with you. I'm just throwing all the sort of the things out there and trying to think of what I can think of. But the other thing is, too, is when it comes to these soap opera writers and that they're new, no product experience, and they don't really understand. I mean, the nice part now is, and it's actually a better thing than we've ever really been able to say, is that, you know, when you talk about, it used to be Vince has final say.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So does Hunter.
Mm-hmm.
Really, at this point, it's Vince and Hunter have final say. And it's always kind of been, and Kevin Dunn, too, right? And as you're starting to hear stories about the people with influence, I mean, the reality was, is that Vince had final say, but really it was Vince and Kevin Dunn and Pat Patterson, let's say,
mm-hmm.
that, you know, could stop shit on a dime. You know, I don't like that. Okay, Pat. Pat doesn't like it. We're stopping. We're not doing it. You know, like, that much power. Really, or that much... I don't say power. That much influence, I guess, with it. And that's where you're getting into now is people that are going to be... My big problem with the influence of everything is that Guy Wertz has more influence. And I don't think he's been good for the product.
Okay.
You know, and you talk about no background, no nothing. Well, you know, Brian Gewirtz has been there for, I mean, fuck, when The Rock was there before Brian Gewirtz. Gewirtz has been there for over 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
And so, if he had no background with it, he sure as fuck does now.
Yeah.
You know, and there's a big-ass fucking tape library, and there's a fucking wealth of people to talk to. So... If you're not any smarter, which, you know, I would argue tends to be the case, then, you know, why? And how?
Shut up, fool!
Yeah,
well,
you
fuck
you, got
Mr. T. Fuck you. No, you can suck my dick.
Don't make me mad.
Okay, I'm sorry.
All right. All right, let's move on to another subject. You want it or you want me to hit another one?
Mm-hmm.
I got a... bunch here. Let's move on to another company. Do you mind? Or do you want to talk about the restructuring this? Maybe quickly talk about... Let's hit this, because it's kind
well,
of...
Well, I wanted to talk about Monday Night Raw, but I'm looking at this thing, and maybe if we could contrast...
Now, like I said, I want to clean up a lot of shit, and then we can kind of watch SmackDown on Friday. I'll watch TNA. I haven't had an opportunity to do that. I didn't really get a chance to watch Raw the way I wanted to. I was kind of background noise for me, so... Get a chance to watch all the shows, clean it up on our next show that goes up on Sunday.
Right.
Works. It's kind of a week review.
We'll do Sunday then. Okay.
Okay.
No, that's fine. Okay. So what else you got there?
Okay, let's...
All my stuff is about
John?
Raw, I think, so we'll just...
Okay, all right. John Laurinaitis, as long as we're talking about all this, he... apparently Hunter doesn't like him very much.
Really? Who could... Why? How?
And also...
Why not?
Well, because he's a douche.
Never liked skateboarders.
Apparently he's not, though, a big fan of him, and a lot of people have been complaining, the talent has been complaining for a long, long time about his ability to do his job.
I don't really put a lot of stock in that, but okay.
Well, that's apparently, you know.
Yeah, but what, okay, let's look at this now. You're talking before you finish your thought, I'm sorry, but I think I kind of know where you're going with this. I will just say that you should not like Johnny Ass, okay, because he's a tool.
Yes.
Okay. The fact
I understand he's going to hire that guy in the Punk video, Gregory Iron. But he accidentally hired the wrong
the wrong wrestler with cerebral palsy. Yes. Yeah, I know. Well, it's coming up. But the thing is Johnny Ash should be ridiculed for being a moron.
Yes.
Because he's done a lot of shit where he deserves to be a douche and a moron.
Yes.
The thing is, when you talk about a lot of the guys are complaining, okay? A lot of guys complained. We watched that NWO fucking video there, the roundtable. Nash would have been fucking complaining in 1995 about James Julius Caesar Dillon sitting right across the table from him because he was the head of talent relations at that point, the guy in charge of his, really, of his paydays. And hell, the guy that used to sit there and it's a click story, Razor and Sean and Diesel would be looking and they'd be opening up their paydays. What'd you get paid for this? What'd you get paid for this? And that never happened before.
No.
And so they would go to JJ and probably took a few years off his life, the poor guy, and raised his blood pressure, but made him have to settle that out. So they would not have anything nice to say about JJ Dillon, that prick.
No.
Okay, even though it's Vince's call, you're the prick, man. But you hear all the time about how people complained about JR back in the day.
Yeah.
And JR was actually the best talent relations person in company history. And people complained about that. So some of the people complaining about Johnny Ass is just because people are going to complain about whoever.
I will not disagree. I've never been in a work environment where there wasn't somebody complaining about somebody in an upper management position. So I'm not disagreeing with
managers are assholes.
Yeah, exactly. I'm not disagreeing with that. What I am saying, though, is that the perception now is both upon somebody who is a higher. The second highest person in the company, essentially, has this attitude now, along with many of the performers who would be complaining, and he has lost some power. And he is an on-screen character now, which might actually save his position.
Maybe.
But I just do wonder if he's long with the company now. He's a good politician. That's his history, right?
Well,
he earned his... He got
It's how he got from WCW to WWF, right?
Yeah.
And Stephanie McMahon always liked him, and that's how he got his job. And now Stephanie, but see, Stephanie is as weird as this seems to say, and I don't mean to, but her power is kind of gone.
Works from home. She's a mother. She works from home.
Well, but I don't want to say her power is gone. Her power is transferred.
Yeah, she's not as
hands-on.
As hands-on because she has other priorities.
And it's Hunter.
Good for her.
And it's Hunter. I mean, I'm not saying there's a bad thing. Or even that her power is gone to say, like, she's been usurped or something.
That's not it.
She has chosen to back away, and now Hunter is coming in. So now it's less Stephanie and more Hunter. And if Hunter doesn't like Johnny Ass, well, Hunter's the guy that really you gotta be pleasing at this point, right? So, and the thing about Johnny Ass that makes me think he's not long for this, and you talk about he's an on character. Well, he was on character a couple times. He was on character flanking Vince.
That's true.
And Vince is gone. So,
good point.
The match I actually want to see at the SummerSlam.
SummerFest.
The SummerFest. I mean, is John Cena going one-on-one with the dynamic dude, Johnny Ass?
That would be fantastic. He could continue to potato him and we'd all cheer. It'd be the first time I'd be cheering for Cena, and I think ever.
Yeah.
That's how you finally turn him babyface.
That is how you turn him babyface. Have him beat the dynamic. And Shane Douglas could do a run-in. Knock a target shelf on his head or something.
Sounds good. I'm going to hit a couple of other quick hit issues here.
Big red Dana ball White. In front of the store.
Dana White, the CEO or head of the president, whatever
what is
he is.
I don't even know what it is.
He's not the owner, obviously. That's the Frida.
Maybe president.
President. I believe he's president of UFC, the Ultimate Fighting Championship.
Fratida. Yes.
Dave and... They're not. Who is it? Dave and something else.
Lorenzo.
Lorenzo? Dave and Lorenzo Fratida.
Is it Dave?
I believe it is Dave.
I don't think so. I know Lorenzo Fratida. I don't know the other one.
Either way.
I don't think it's Dave, though.
No?
No. Okay. That sounds like the founder of Wendy's to me.
Yeah. He's dead now.
It's true. Luckily, Heath Slater is still around to carry on his name.
That's true. Dana White showed up at the Titan Towers.
A couple weeks ago, yeah.
Yeah. Any thoughts?
Well, I mean, it was a couple weeks ago. He tweeted about you know, now, well, it was probably maybe a month ago that he was there now, because it was a couple weeks ago he tweeted it, and then he came out with an article about a week ago.
It's just recently here, over the last few days, about a week ago, actually, I think, that an interview with Arda Arkal, was it, or was it, who was
no,
it?
No, it was Ariel Helwani.
Ariel Helwani, okay, yeah. Arda Arkal did the interview with Chavo, I'll be talking about next.
Yes, yes, and our Arda Arkal will then later listen to this, and then he'll tell you our opinions.
Yeah,
but
that's his own.
Yes, yes. Well, Canada needs a Brian Fritz. Canada
no.
needs a Brian.
Brian Fritz is busy doing that, so he.
You know, actually, I was going to.
Martin.
Well, remember I told you earlier that Dan and Brian was an Ed Koski guy.
Yeah.
I heard that because Wade Keller actually took his dick out of John Pierre-Marini's mouth for 30 seconds for him to be able to tell me that on the air. But. So let's
it's a mutual 69 going on, isn't it?
I have no idea. I would think Pierre-Marini has better taste than that. Not salty. But Dana White at Titan Towers, you know, to me that speaks to the Brock merchandising deal.
Most
though,
likely.
You know what I mean?
It is funny, though, when Ariel Helwani was pushing him on it, that he would not reveal what it was. So
pushing.
Pulling.
And pulling.
And other people, too.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh.
So, anyways, Dana White, okay, so likely
too.
Brock related. Okay, that makes sense to me.
Chill Sonnen.
So, Chavo Guerrero, as we say, Articom interviewed him. And he said the reason he decided to leave the company, ultimately, was that they were asked him to do a job to Yoshitatsu on Superstars. And he refused.
Right, well, was it in his home country?
Texas?
There is a time-honored tradition.
There is a time-honored. But he refused, and when he said why, he said, no, let me ask you why. Why am I doing this? And they said, what do you mean? He said, well, who's the better wrestler? And they said, well, you are. And he said, well, who have you invested 10 years worth of television time building up? And they said, you have. We've invested that in you. And he said, well, yeah, that's what he said. He said, I don't mind doing the job. You could see that with Hornswoggle. But with Hornswoggle, there was a reason for it. There was an entertainment. They could tell me their reasoning behind it. Even if I didn't agree with it, they could tell me the reason behind it. If they can't tell me the reasoning behind me losing to Yoshitatsu, then so and I decided it was time to leave. So what are your thoughts on this interview and his point of view?
I can kind of understand it. I can. You know, God bless them around the personal choice to say, you know, hey, this is my standard, I guess, and if you can't tell me why, whether I, and as he said, whether I agree with it or not was the key phrase there to me, is that, you know, like, just tell me. Mm-hmm. You can just tell me the reason.
Yeah, exactly.
If I think it's a fucked up reason, I'm still going to do it anyway, but
yeah.
You have a reason.
Exactly.
If you don't have no reason, it's just like, well, no, Tatsu's gonna beat you, and there you are. Well, I mean, to me, that seems if you back away from it, I think if you're Chavo Guerrero and you back away from it, and you're a reasonable person, you just kind of back away. If it's me and I'm watching, who's gonna win? Tatsu, he's younger.
Yeah.
Right, he's younger. When you say who have you invested all this 10 years of TV time and blah blah blah, well. Well, you've been on TV for 10 years.
Yeah.
I don't know that they've invested 10 years in building you up, okay? I think they may have invested a good, let's say, 2.5 years tops.
Yeah, over
building.
That 10-year period. There was a period.
You know, we lie, we cheat, we steal.
There was a period there.
And
there was
then,
a period with
and I was Kerwin White.
There was a period against
well,
Ray.
Well, and then Ray,
know,
yeah,
yeah,
and
so
Ben Ron,
there
yeah.
Been periods, right? But yeah, I would agree with what you're saying. Now let's move on to this. He also talked about how he had been critical of John Cena on Twitter. He said that John Cena was lazy. Now he clarified this in this interview, saying John Cena is a friend of mine. He's one of the hardest working guys in the industry. I'm not saying he's lazy. What I'm saying is though that he has the same comeback, his same matches. It's just he's going through the motions in his matches and his comebacks
right, okay.
And his spots.
Yeah,
and he was critical of that. In
so
the
you're saying that he's not. He thinks he's a hard worker. He's a friend of his.
He's a hard worker outside the ring.
He's a friend of his.
All the charity.
He said he's a friend of his.
Yeah,
he's a friend of his. Right? Fucking call him. And tell him this shit.
He said that he tried to.
Yeah, well, so then, okay, so my friend, okay, Mo, I call you and you don't answer.
I'm not your friend.
I know. You were my friend, and I called you.
I hope not.
You didn't answer. And I go on Twitter?
You text me.
What?
You would go on Twitter. You'd email me. You'd leave a message.
You know what? It rang twice. He didn't pick up. I just hung up. That ingrate. No,
yeah,
I mean, come on. He's my friend, he says. Yeah, so then your first contact with him is to rip him on Twitter to the masses, and when people respond to you, continue to keep going. You going, yeah, no, thanks, man, and blah, 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 blah. And like,
yeah.
No, fuck off.
Okay.
Like, that's retarded. I mean, and who knows? I mean, Chavo should be noted, two-strike guy, right?
Yeah.
Should be noted that. And really, I mean, I always thought he was a talented guy, but what the fuck were they going to do with him?
No, I agree.
And he was a guy, though, that if you're going to keep him around, just a house show, you know, work with the young guys guy.
Yeah. Okay. And they need some of those. That's all right. He didn't want to be there any longer. I do get the feeling listening to this was a good interview. People can go download it as a podcast. But you know what? I get the feeling that we haven't heard the full. He hasn't fully released all the pent up frustration.
Yeah.
And when we do, it'll be extremely entertaining. So,
nah,
I'm looking forward to it at some point.
I doubt it. I'll probably be really bored by it. But okay.
Could be. This
Chavo Guerrero, for fuck's
no,
sake.
No, he was good in this, though. He was very passionate.
Well, I'm sure he was.
Very
and I'm sure he is. But I mean, he's Chavo Guerrero.
I know. But hey, then again, I did think I'd enjoy listening to a lot of people that have enjoyed listening.
Well, I will enjoy listening to him, but all I'm saying is that when his points are valid or his points aren't valid, I mean, that's yet to be 50% determined.
50% of his point with John Cena was valid, but he didn't, yeah. Anyways, let's move on to another company. What company do you want to move on to? ROH?
Ring of Honor, yes.
Yeah, Ring of Honor. Let's talk about the Sinclair tapings. Now, I'm not sure. Have you heard anything about the first episode, whether it's going to be a two-hour or one-hour show?
I have heard that Mr. Richfield is going to be the commissioner now, and he's going to be like, Sinclair, in here now!
Very nice.
Yeah.
Dinosaurs reference,
yeah,
folks.
Not the mama.
Not the mama.
So,
that was a fucking great show.
That was a great show. I love that show.
Awesome.
Anyway, that's what I've heard.
No, okay, the first episode.
Davey Richards has a staph infection. Oh,
he currently has a staph infection. Hopefully, he'll be healthy in time.
When are the tapings in September?
I believe so. Yeah. It's about that.
My
area.
Problem with
he'll probably work hurt, but the thing is, you can't really work hurt now. He can go on as the main event, but the person he's working with has an opportunity then to unfortunately also get the staph infection. And the mat would have to be clean in such a way and such.
My problem at this point is where the tapings are.
Hmm. Which is?
Chicago Ridge, Illinois.
That's right.
That to me spells, I mean, it's a taping at least.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to learn, or well, we may not learn, but we should learn how good the Sinclair broadcast team, editing team, really is for post-production.
Because CM Punk is from there and mentioned them on television?
Yes.
Yeah, that's
a
possibility.
I think that crowd is going to expect.
Here's the thing. It's September. By that point, CM Punk could already be back on WWE TV regularly. Like, we don't know. That's far enough away that I'm not going to worry about that now. If CM Punk is still
right now, I think that's a to me, though, that's a possibility, and if it happens, that's problematic. You're right.
Yeah.
It very well could be.
It's too far away.
I think, again, if you do what I do, as I mentioned last show, and you do what I do, then it you keep Punk prevalent but not be on TV. The other thing that, and again, I haven't seen Raw yet, the thing is to me, with the Comic-Con deal,
yeah.
My big thing with CM Punk, my gimmick now, is Mouth of the South shit. Okay? He keeps the megaphone.
He keeps the megaphone, yeah. He's doing he has his own YouTube channel.
We
now.
Talked, we,
a lot
yeah,
of cool
but we talked about, when he comes on television, and we talked about, and I said we compared him to the last two big babyface icons built of, the last two, but two of the,
yeah.
Austin and Sting.
Yeah.
Sting stayed in the rafters. Austin got his neck injury and just stunned the shit out of people and didn't actually work, but stayed on TV.
Yeah.
Right? Punk has the ability to be in the crowd.
Sure.
With a megaphone.
Sure. He, as long as the gimmick that he's a rogue that they can't control, that is standing up for the hardcore fans, exists, then it will be successful.
With the megaphone that they can't edit off sound-wise.
They can't,
they can't control because he could sit in the third row and still have the megaphone and be really... He can be really loud.
They've never thrown out a guy at a taping.
Yeah, I know, but I mean, you can suspend your disbelief for that, right? I mean,
yeah.
Well, okay, so some fucker's hanging out in the rafters, they don't go investigate? Come on, like, that's the thing. So...
Yeah, I agree.
But that, to me, is how you can keep him on TV, keep him fresh, keep him over, and not have him work.
Yeah, and that's another way, hopefully, then, that they would... be obvious enough they're still with that company, which, I mean, it seems incredibly obvious he is now, right, that you wouldn't have that chant for his name at the Sinclair. They could always move the broadcast, but I also do think, while there will be some CM Punk
no, and that's,
if he's still around, I think that the crowd is smart enough and they are respectful enough that when the Kings of Wrestling take on the world's or wrestling's greatest tag team, for the titles, they won't be chanting it during that. They'll be into the match. Same thing when David Richards defends the title, and that's saying,
if.
Well, he likely will. He will work hurt. I mean, it's just a matter of
staff, though.
I know. It could affect the other performer, is the thing.
But
yeah,
El
I mean,
Generico, the full body suit, right?
The full body suit. Well, he's facing right now Roderick Strong, which is just a wicked match, right? I mean, we saw it before. It's a tremendous match.
Mm-hmm.
So I will say this. They are loading up that first paper or that first taping. We don't know. I don't know how long it is. I imagine it's a one-hour show. But I would say this. I am already more looking forward
to
that.
It is a one-hour show.
Yeah, it's a one-hour show. It's in September. Far
so 42 late. Minutes.
Yeah. So,
really?
Yeah. But I'm looking forward to that far more than anything I can think of TNA doing.
Oh,
for the rest
of course.
Of the year.
Yeah, sure. But... I mean, and Ring of Honor to me, and it's funny how you talk about, we're talking about looking forward to. And this brings me to kind of a bigger kind of topic, and kind of funny.
We'll have to find it online.
We will. But, I mean, the thing is, unless we get it on one of our channels, I don't know. I think
it's very unlikely.
It's highly unlikely, but I'm willing to search it out at least, a couple weeks ahead of time to
see.
Yeah,
for sure.
But, and I hope I do, but you never know. But my whole thing with the bigger topic, we talk about interest waning, say, in TNA so that your ROH interest can come up. I just really like, and it's just compare and contrast the timelines here, but my interest in UFC.
Yeah.
Coming down. Versus my interest in WWE right now coming up.
My personal interest in UFC right now is that I want to watch everything, but I'm not really excited to watch it. It's like, oh, I want to watch it because it'll be good. It'll be on, whatever, I can see it. I want to see, Tito, Rashad Evans, Tito, fine, Jones and
you almost
Rampage.
Said Tito Santana,
I almost
you?
Did, didn't I? But I didn't say Chico.
Arriba!
I would have, and Velasquez, Santos, Santos. I'm like, oh, yeah, I want to see all this. I want to see it, but I'm not excited. It's like, I'll see it. You know, it's. I want to see everything, but I'm not excited. I'm not like, I can't wait.
You're still a little higher on that than I do.
I don't necessarily need
to see everything. If something gets me excited, I will watch it. And if it doesn't, I won't. And if I hear it's good, I'll probably see it on,
I'm interested. I'm interested in Maynard. And
Frankie.
Anchor, I'm interested in Dan Henderson against Fedor Emelianenko. I mean, there's enough matches that I'm like, oh, I want to see
the George St. Pierre, absolutely. The Anderson Silva in Brazil, I will watch. Just
for the Brazilian interaction.
Yeah, just for that.
But,
I mean, like
the match against the Kami is not that great. Yeah.
No, but where we got? We got Chael Sonnen in Texas.
Yeah, there's
you
some
know,
good matches.
Sorry, Lance. But I...
you'll still watch.
I
will, too.
I kind of...
I'll cheer against him, but I'll watch.
I'm interested in Chael.
Yeah, absolutely. and it's Brian Stan, good opponent. Sorry, I'm sorry.
Yeah, Brian. Well, that's the
but
thing.
Anyways,
Brian,
we don't want to turn this into we.
No,
talk
no,
to
no.
Us.
We don't. We don't. No,
UFC
I'm just saying. Sorry, I'm just. I'm talking about how that interest goal has come down to me,
yeah.
And WWE has come up. So
WWE
has come up.
Really, I agree. It has.
I can start
much.
To see, but I'm starting to see the trend lines kind of come up with WWE. And again, anything can turn on a dime here. It's just my good face is a goodwill, as you talked about, is coming up with WWE. So I just like to see that. And you talked about that, so I just wanted to hit on that.
Okay, great. I'm going to hit a couple Impact Wrestling-related things, and then we'll get on
Thank
to
fucking
some of
God.
That, unfortunately, afterwards.
What? No.
We have to. We have to.
No, we don't.
A bunch of quick hits here, a couple other
They're
things.
Awesome.
Kendrick Kobashi, this past Saturday night, I believe, returned to action in Japan for the first time in 19 months. I think probably the greatest in-ring performer in Japanese history after a 19-month layoff. Any thoughts?
No.
Seriously?
Yeah, it's great. Why wasn't he in ring? I don't know.
You know, I'm not
England.
Really sure what the latest was because it's difficult for me to follow the Japanese.
I think
product.
The greatest Japanese wrestler of all time was
Paul Diamond as what was it? Kato? Was he Kato? What was he?
Yeah,
Paul Diamond.
Kato.
Yeah, there we go. That's the greatest one. You're right.
That could very well be.
Yeah.
I was thinking Yokozuna.
Oh, that could be too.
Bonzai.
I
don't
Anyways,
know.
Anyways,
Kobashi, great wrestler. I didn't know he was out. I don't follow Japanese really because I
watch it as much as I can. I don't catch him so often. I knew he was out. I didn't know. I don't know the reason he was out. But I will say this: he's back after 19 months. He's so damn great, and I hope he has a one last good run in. And I'm really happy about
did
that.
Did you see his comeback match?
I haven't had a chance to see it yet. I haven't had a chance to watch it yet. But
let's
I know
table
it was
that.
In a tag team. It was in a tag team. He lost, as is the Japanese tradition. When a star is gone for a long period and he comes back, the Japanese tradition is that nobody will buy this guy who's been gone for so long could defeat somebody who's been currently performing, which is kind of the opposite of what you see over here. So I think that's very interesting.
I had a wife in a long period.
Yeah, about 6 years?
Yeah, I was married to her for 6 years. Seemed like she was always crabby.
Yeah. All right. Let's get another independent thing. Scott Hall's son, Cody Hall, he's 6'9".
Mm-hmm.
He's going into wrestling.
Oh, good.
Yeah, good. Thoughts?
Yeah, well, I want to be just like my dad.
Yeah.
What the fuck?
Yeah.
Cody Hall, I'll just send this to you directly if I find your fucking email so you can fucking listen to it. I'll just tell you to fast forward to like a minute, an hour, 12 minutes in. But Cody Hall, because you probably haven't known your dad, right? And you watch him, you look at him, you see him, and you think, oh, what a star in life. And then you watch him, and you look at him, and you know your dad. Fuck you.
Yeah.
You idiot.
You're young, but you're
fucking
stupid.
Idiot. And you can be
Why
like,
would
well,
you do not
I'm not
going to
be like,
industry.
I'm not going to be like my dad. Guess what? Turns out, we're all like our fucking dads, okay? You are going to be exactly like your dad. So don't be a fuck and stay the fuck away from this business, you idiot.
Yes. You know what? You just nailed it for me.
Duke
every
bag.
Word. Every goddamn word. Mick Foley had said that he intended to, was hoping to attend.
His dad was jumping off the roof. No.
Yeah. He was saying that he intended to or was hoping to attend the live crowd, not as an in-ring or on-ring.
For Money in the Bank. Right.
And I didn't hear any word that he was there.
Mm-hmm.
He continues to be quiet. Any thoughts on that?
That's a first. No. He's probably at Tori Amos concert, so just stand up.
Any amusement parks in Chicago you would have got stuck at?
Probably. No, I mean, I don't know. Maybe he's just laying low. Maybe he's just...
You had thought for the longest time he was going to turn out to be the Raw GM.
Well, I still think he could. If they, you know, it's one of those things. But if they had gone through with the Raw GM deal, then it's a possibility. But now it's one of those things. So who knows what... Who knows? But I do think that Foley is back bound for WWE.
Okay.
I do. So I think...
I'm still not 100% convinced that this... I don't know. I guess it doesn't seem like a work anymore. I'm not sure he's out of his contract because I haven't heard. You know.
Well, then you were asking about fucking non-competes and shit.
Yeah.
fuck.
That's right.
TNA.
Yeah. All right, let's move on to Impact Wrestling. I'm afraid we do have to go there because there's just a few quick hits left.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, we do.
Okay, let's make this fucking quick then.
Let's start with one with a little bit of a WWE flavor to it. Steve Austin recently tweeted that he believes Samoa Joe should be signed by the WWE, that he's one of his favorite performers and needs a green light push. Thoughts?
Samoa Joe's contract came up last summer. WWE had no interest, so he re-signed like a bunch of shit. So, sorry, Steve, too little too late.
Well, if he asks for his release, then won't they just give it to him?
Well, they'll just tell him to go to the Rumble now.
Seriously?
Well, yeah. So, I mean, they'd have to do some sort of unofficial backdoor shenanigans with it, but...
I do think it's just interesting that Steve Austin is endorsing this guy and continues to be shit on.
Okay, let's look at the reality of it. I mean, had there been no contract, if you get any contract, which you fucking can't, okay? He's there for a while, and this will never happen. Because by the time it happens, it'll be too old and it won't matter, okay? Because he'll be with TNA for a while. But should this happen, you've got... should it go to happen, Steve Austin has enough influence with Vince McMahon to say hey, and so does CM Punk at this point.
That's true, and CM Punk retweeted it. There is one
issue.
I think Samoa Joe might actually be shorter than CM Punk. CM Punk's actually about 6 foot, but like the point is, when you meet him, he's not your typical Samoan.
No.
He's not quite as big. Like he has a lot of
he's
body
not
weight.
Your typical Samoan, you say.
He's not your typical Samoan.
So what is your typical Samoan, Mo, please?
Someone that is just, Rikishi is a bigger man. I mean, he's like 360
pounds. So Rikishi is your typical Samoan?
He's also taller.
So
if I go to Samoa,
I can expect to see people that just want to stick their asses in my face.
Within the WWE business.
Oh, okay. No, I'm just upset.
The point is that Samoa Joe is, he is probably 280 pounds. I think that's a legit thing. He's not nearly as tall as you would think, though, if you were to meet him in person. He's like 5'10", if
okay,
that.
Okay,
so
keep going.
I just think when WWE, especially Vince McMahon, has a certain viewpoint of what a Samoan should look like, he does not meet it, and I don't think they would know how to use him. He hasn't ever used
you just talked about Kobashi.
Well, what about him?
Didn't he have a tryout?
Kobashi? No.
No?
No.
Who had the tryout?
That was, what is his name, Morishima, I think is his name?
Oh, okay.
Who again,
is he a fat guy?
He's in great shape, but has a physique
okay.
is similar
like
to
Joe.
Samoa Joe. He's
okay.
a little taller.
Anyway,
but
if,
he was
if
not
you're talking about breaking down,
of...
I'm just saying, though, that if you want to do the whole fucking, okay, so now if you want to talk about, this perception, I guess, that Vince has, and blah, 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 right? I mean... Right now, as I said, I mean, if they're willing to break the walls down and break the doors down, and Hunter is going to be there to have a little more influence, and Austin can tell him, and Punk is there to go, yeah, fuck.
Yeah,
then,
you don't know what you don't know what makes
the bottom line
in
is though. The bottom line here is this is all speculation because again, Joe ain't going anywhere for like 4 years or whatever the fuck he's going.
Yeah.
So it's done.
Be like 35.
Yeah. So then he will never.
Yeah.
Okay. He's a never was.
Okay. Sounds good. I'm going to move on to Zema Ion has been signed.
Yeah. So when we talked after the Destination X pay-per-view that they should sign everybody but Zema Ion.
Let him develop a little more.
Yeah.
He's the guy they signed.
So TNA did the
exact
opposite.
Oh, good for him. I do think he has potential. Oh,
good for him. Yeah. No, it'd be great if he could make $100 a week.
That's true.
Fucking awesome.
You know what? He'll qualify for
Guess
food stamps
what?
Now.
Yes. Fuck you, food stamp. Fucking Jesse Neal gets fucking hurt and has to wait to fucking qualify for fucking food stamps. That just infuriates me.
Absolutely.
Oh, my God. And that's a true story. He tweets, good news, I just qualified for fucking food stamps. So great. So thank you very much. Fuck you, Dixie Carter, you cunt. You now qualify
for that
TNA.
Anymore.
Oh, we are, and we always will, because it will always be applicable. When Jesse Neal qualifies for fucking food stamps because
pathetic.
He gets hurt, that is pathetic.
It's pathetic.
Absolutely pathetic.
Yeah.
And people want to go there.
Especially when UFC recently,
fuck
looked
that.
After their performers.
People
want to
go there. That's what's almost pathetic.
Yeah.
Hi, I'm Zema Ion, and I want to go there. Why, is that an improvement? Probably not.
I don't think Loki wants to go there.
No, because he can fucking 10 times more, probably selling peaches out the side of his truck.
I don't know how to top that. I'm not going to try. Kurt Angle bullshit of the week. That's not a regular feature, though.
It's not a regular feature, but it could be.
Absolutely. He said in a recent interview that he had a match, I believe it was No Way Out, against Undertaker just before WrestleMania.
2000, maybe?
2006, I believe.
Wow.
Maybe 2005. 2006,
that's right, that's right, that's right, that's right.
It was a tremendous
match,
actually.
Oh, yeah, God, it couldn't have been 2000. You're right, you're in 2006.
Yeah, no, but it was a wicked, wicked match.
Yeah, I remember, didn't he?
It was a very MMA-influenced match.
Yeah, I was going to say, it was an MMA. Wasn't it like he was about, wasn't he pinning wall that the tap out was on, he had him in the triangle, and then
I think
wasn't it like a tap and almost at the same time as a pin or something?
Yeah,
wasn't
something
there controversy?
Like that, yeah.
It was like 1, 2 tap as the three was coming down at the same time.
And
I think they did the like a rematch. They had to do it on SmackDown because they couldn't do it at Mania because
Well, he said that the Undertaker had gone to Vince at the time and told him that he wanted Angle to face him at Mania in the rematch and beat the streak.
Yeah. Oh, of course. Well, who wouldn't, though?
Yeah, instead, I believe Taker faced Batista that year at Mania.
In a match we all had low hopes for, but just became, like, it was unbelievable.
Exactly. Yeah. And he won the title against Batista that year. So, again, any thoughts on his bullshit?
It's Kurt, though. I mean, it's my thoughts on his bullshit is that, quite frankly, it's expected.
Okay.
You know, like you just do at this point. You really just expect his bullshit, and it's too bad and it's sad, but you do.
Okay, so like six quick issues we're gonna hit. Quick hits.
Say that three times fast.
Six quick. I'm not saying them fast.
Oh.
I'll say it.
No, don't.
Because I'll just eat up more time in the show.
Stop talking.
Is it time for him to tell me to shut my jibber-jabber?
Yeah, it could be. It could be. Yeah, let's ask Mr. T.
Don't give me no back talk, sucker!
Okay,
what's
sorry.
That with back talk?
Sorry, sir.
And Jesus. Anyways, let's go. WWE has been sponsored by Kmart for a while, live events and television sponsor. TNA now
Speaking
has
of
someone.
Big, yes.
TNA is
I
believe, an auto insurance company.
Direct insurance or something?
So they've qualified for somebody now. As much as we make fun of them, is that Hulk Hogan influence?
Did
he meet with them? Like he met with Chrysler, McDonald's?
Well, and McDonald's, exactly. I mean, I don't know. And honestly, when you talk about direct insurance, is direct insurance a big company? I don't even know. In
it
the
is.
States,
apparently,
I,
it is. Apparently,
is
I believe it's actually their parent company, who is the sponsor directly. And I think it is a fairly big. I think it's a pretty big deal.
Whose parent company?
The direct insurance's parent company is like Direct something or
okay.
Else. Yeah.
That could very well be the Hogan influence. Then yeah, sure. And if that's the case, I don't know how much is direct insurance paying.
I'm not sure.
Yeah, and that's the thing, and I know, and that hasn't come out yet, at least at the time we do this.
And I'm not sure it ever will, because they're not a public company.
Well, that's the thing, but I mean, there could be, you know, Meltzer could get some hooks in there and find out, but until we know that to me, is this the Hogan influence good or bad, that's what's going to spell this out. They have a sponsor. Okay, fuck, great. Are they paying? Is it good? Is it financially
beneficial?
Well, it can't
beneficial? Be a bad thing.
Well, it can though, because if you're the main sponsor and you pay shit, you can't go out and get another main sponsor
that's
now,
true.
Can you?
That's true.
That's going to pay more.
I experienced that in Madden football.
Well, there you go.
Playoffs, see? I couldn't go get a better stadium
Fuck.
Sponsor.
See?
Same
well,
fucking deal.
TNA is a lot like Madden football.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Hasn't changed.
You never know what you're going to get.
All right. It hasn't changed in years?
Yeah. Well, it's going to, apparently. But
apparently. Well, both, yeah. All right. Now, Ken Anderson, 35 years old, has family, has children.
Never kissed a girl.
Has said in an interview recently, if he's still wrestling 5 years when he's 40, please just shoot me. Not that I don't enjoy performing in front of the crowd, but I don't want this to define my entire life. And I'm already beat up and hurt.
Mm-hmm.
Any thoughts?
Is that legally binding?
God, I wish.
I mean, my first thought with that, literally my first thought when you said that, is Booker T.
Booker T is the first guy I thought of as well.
You know, that's what I like about Kenny. No, but I mean, Booker T said for years, I'm retiring. Well, he did, but...
Bret Hart said in his documentary that he feels like he's he's 40 years old at the time. He said, I feel like I'm in a prison yard. I'm the guy, I've been there for life. I'm allowed to go wherever I want. I eat whatever I want. I can do anything I want, but at the end of the day, I can't leave the prison. I'm paraphrasing, but yeah, he did.
Incorrectly. He talked about the Shawshank Redemption, is what he went. He went back to the Shawshank Redemption, his favorite movie. Shawshank Redemption, one of my favorite movies, actually, is Morgan Freeman's in it. But he talked about how it was the move to WCW, uh-huh. is what he was referencing there. Is that right now in WWE, it's the prison, but he's the long-running inmate that's kind of got the warden in his back pocket,
I think, as he said,
and he's got the run of the place and such. And so by going to WCW, it's like being transferred to this whole prison that he doesn't know.
Well, no, he said, every day I just think about wanting to get out. To me, he thought about wanting the freedom of the...
Even though he
had it good within the prison industry, he wanted the freedom of getting out. That was the reference. That's the way I took it anyway.
Yes, within the prison industry.
Bret Hart was saying when he was 40 years old, maybe one or two more years, and now he's still doing it.
Yeah.
The same thing he had said, if he hadn't had that concussion, he would have been going 45. Exactly. So I hear this from Ken Anderson. I hope he gets out in 5 months. Or 5 weeks. 5 days would be good for me.
That would be excellent.
5 hours? Too much to ask?
By the time you listen to this. It's one of those things. And I don't mind Ken Anderson, actually. I don't think he's bad.
Randy Orton would disagree.
Well, he would.
John Cena would disagree.
And I don't have to work with him, granted.
Shawn Michaels would disagree.
He's retired. He's
That's
all in favor now. Fuck. No. I just think that, one of those things that when wrestlers talk about retirement, you listen and then you wait a year and you wait maybe two and then
Kurt Angle was also not going to be wrestling at this
point. So, all right.
Not many of them actually walk away.
No.
Like
Eileen.
Yeah. Exactly.
Don't walk away, Eileen.
Eric and Hulk have been doing publicly, anytime somebody's talking about the product, interviews and such, to the other performers in TNA, they've really been running down Russo a lot.
Apparently they've been burying Russo,
Whereas for a long time, they were kind of just keeping their mouth shut on him and saying we're all trying to work. So they're really, it's kind of becoming an Eric and Hulk versus Russo thing.
Well,
any thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, this is really what we thought January 4th.
Yeah.
Right? When Hogan and Bischoff came in, and it was, okay, what's going to happen to fucking Russo?
Yeah.
You know, after the whole Bash the Beach, blah, 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 Russo, like, no, there's a piece of shit, all this, the lawsuit, and everything, right?
Mm-hmm.
What's going to happen? And the thought at the time was that they were going to dangle, and then when there needed to be a scapegoat, Russo, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then they did the Monday night, and that was a failure. Everybody thought, oh, they're going to blame Russo. Right? No.
Yeah.
No, not. And what it turns out is that Eric and Hulk are just really smart businessmen. And, I mean, I think we knew that.
Oh, yeah.
But now, I think, if they're publicly, if they're more publicly with the guys saying, Russo's a dick, fuck Russo, this Russo's a problem, what that translates to me is that when they're sitting with Dixie and Conway, or not Conway, when they're sitting with Dixie and Janice, maybe,
mm-hmm.
and the screws are getting put to them,
mm-hmm.
they're getting the pressure.
Yep.
So now, I think we all thought the pressure would be put on Hogan and Bischoff almost, maybe not immediately, but, you know, within a certain time frame. We didn't actually at the time, come January 4th, realize that, you know, the Carter family were morons.
Well, you can never underestimate the stupidity of Dixie and Janice.
You can't. But now...
Dixie.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Cunt.
What is she?
But...
a hunt? She's a hunter.
Attila?
Really?
But she knows Shawn Michaels. But the thing is...
Got him.
The thing with them is... is that I didn't think it would take this long.
Yeah.
I thought it would happen, the finger pointing to Russo, but I didn't think it would take this long. But what that points to is that the idiots at his TNA management, that it took them this long to put the screws to Hogan and Bischoff to go, come on, guys, what the fuck? And now that that's happening, they're turning it back and going, well, your problem is fucking Vince Russo. Which was their fucking problem all along.
Yeah.
It's just now what that's done, and it's smart. It's absolutely smart on their behalf. Is they've taken a paycheck now for 2 years.
Yeah.
And now they're going, you know what your problem is? And it could actually be, maybe they're not getting the screws loose. Maybe their contract is up. Maybe they signed a two-year contract, and it's coming due up in the fall here, and so now they need to renegotiate, and so that's why they're putting the fucking...
Well, and they're putting a lot of this to the boys as well, but apparently, and other people within the company, and a lot of people outside, I'm not talking about Janice and Dixie, especially Dixie, but a lot of people are apparently sitting there going, well, how can we believe these guys? I mean, they're full of shit, too, and they haven't done anything since they got here.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there is that, but I do wonder if this is going to come to a head. And it's funny because as much as I talk about the bullshit of Hulk Hogan, and I don't trust Hulk Hogan would be good at his job, and I don't trust, I still cheer for them over Bischoff, or cheer for Bischoff and Hogan over Russo. I just want him out of there. Not that I don't want the guy to feed his family, but he sucks so much.
I actually don't want him to feed his family.
Yeah.
The thing is, with Russo being gone, the thing to me, and the hope that I get is that with Russo gone, Hogan and Bischoff, they're not going to last forever, and then eventually they'll be gone, and then you can start afresh. And maybe you bring in, the thing then is they'll probably knee-jerk and bring Russo back, but at least that would make for a good 2 weeks.
There'd be opportunity for somebody else, a Heyman, Sapolsky, DeMore, somebody else.
But anyway, when they do, exactly, there's that opportunity there. They would probably go back to Russo because Dixie's a cunt. But... The thing is but as I said, that would make 2 weeks of good television.
Yeah.
When Russo comes back, he's
going to... I would prefer 2 years of good television with somebody else booking.
Oh, yeah. I understand.
Three more topics.
Okay.
Hulk Hogan has a role in the Saints Row video game. He is playing a mob boss who used to be a luchador. Thoughts?
Mr. America?
Yeah. Seriously, isn't that odd? It's just strange casting, isn't it?
Yeah, but if
he's going to be doing a Spanish accent or Mexican accent, don't you think that? Don't you think he'll be doing Hulk Hogan will do some sort of Spanish or Mexican accent?
Yes.
Won't that be fantastic?
My name is Hulk Hogan.
My
name is Hulk Hogan. You killed my father. Prepare to die.
That's awesome.
Yes.
Except for it'll be better.
No,
Hulk Hogan
better
imitation.
Than that.
Yeah.
My name is Omega Montoya, brother. You killed my father, brother.
Awesome.
Prepare to die, brother.
Fucking great.
But no, I mean, honestly, the creators of this video game probably didn't know how fucking dead-ass broke Hogan was. Right? No, really. I mean,
probably
so
not.
So then when you hear, we need a masked luchador wrestler, and someone goes, hey, I can get Hulk Hogan for your video game.
Yeah.
What? We can't
afford
Hulk Hogan for a video game. Well, let me try this out. Someone was in the know here. Somebody was in the know, and they go, well, let me just try. And they say, Hogan's willing to do it for our budget. Really? He's willing to do it for $18 in a taco.
It's a very, very successful, high franchise game. It probably, I don't
Sorry.
Think
so. He's willing to do it for $18,000 in a taco.
But it's actually, you know, they have a lot of some big names in that. Actually have done that.
But that's fine. But I'm just saying, I mean, Hogan probably came cheaper than they were expecting.
That probably did. Speaking of money problems and coming cheaper than you expect, let's get down to our final subject.
Moe's mom.
No. Oh. Five minutes with Ric Flair.
Oh, yeah, your mom.
But actually, no, let's first just talk about Ric Flair said in an interview that he's not sure when he comes back. He's been rehabbing a shoulder injury. That's why he hasn't been on TV. He's coming back, though, to face the winner of that.
Yeah, he's a rotator cuff gimmick, wasn't it?
Yeah. So he's coming back to face the winner of that Sting and Kurt Angle match for getting a title shot against the winner of that at 62 years old. And now there's been some issues recently with him and Impact Wrestling. Their relationship does not appear to be on solid ground. Any thoughts on his comment?
Well, yeah, exactly. This is really, I mean, he's just being a, you know, I think he's being old school Flair, probably. I mean, I wouldn't love it. I don't see how it fits in, but I wouldn't love it if, because him and Angle and Sting are fighting at the August pay-per-view.
Angle and Sting are, yes.
So if Sting wins, he's a champion, and he fight Flair.
I actually think you can.
But
get
the problem with that is that you, Flair and Sting, and then the next pay-per-view is Bound for Glory.
Yeah.
So Sting would have to beat Flair, probably, or Flair becomes your fucking champion,
that's
I guess, true. And then Flair fights the winner of the Bound for Glory series, which, if they could plan this out right now, actually, here we go, yeah, could be Robert Roode.
Interesting.
That, there you go. There's
he's way down in the points right now, but that doesn't
well,
matter.
Well, that's what I'm thinking, right? They'd have to figure out a way, but Robert Roode is the one that did the rotator gimmick to the Flair, so you could play off that.
You could.
Because
I'm not
Hogan
sure.
And Sting is, I don't want to say it's selling this show, but that's what this show is going to be based around.
Oh, yeah, they think it'll sell it.
So the actual, but again, I think that they're going to put Kurt Angle as the champion. I'm just saying that the only
it
way
makes sense. It makes sense that the Angle.
But I don't
want to
see Flair and Angle. I do want to see Flair and Sting.
Actually, I do. I wouldn't mind seeing Flair and Angle one time because I just can't recall ever seeing it. It might have happened on like a
it
Raw
may have
or something
happened,
like that.
Yeah.
I think it actually did, but I just don't recall. I wouldn't mind seeing it one time, but I also wouldn't, like you say, I mean, a one-time nostalgia match. But that match doesn't need to be for a championship.
That is true as well. That's actually, they could still do that in September and it not be for a title.
Yeah, exactly. I'd rather see Sting, though, and Flair than Sting and Hulk. I mean, I don't want to see Sting and Hulk. I think Sting and Flair would, I'm not sure, Flair has something left. It's not what it used to be, obviously. There's a little something in there, though. I mean, and just, there's, I mean, even when Hulk Hogan was younger and Sting were younger, their matches blew. Like you look back on that match, the Starrcade match, and even though that Starrcade match, everybody talks about the fast count. The truth is that it was a shit match from the beginning. You know, Sting selling for all of Hogan's weak looking offense on that particular evening. Just not a good match. I don't think they've ever had a good match. I'm not sure if they were ever capable of having a good match, even when they were younger. Nevertheless, being capable of having a good match. You know, 2011, almost 2012 at the time, Bound for Glory comes up. So, I mean, I would rather see him against Ric Flair. But, yeah, I mean, I think Ric Flair and Angle. I think Ric Flair, essentially, one time, one last kick at the cat, challenge for the title. It worked when he faced Hunter, if you recall all those years ago. I think you can kind of recapture that one time and maybe push your pay-per-view buys up from 9 to 19 if you're Impact Wrestling. But, truthfully, I do think... I think it's difficult. I mean, you don't want to put your title on a 62-year-old, but their fans were able to buy somebody of that age in Jerry Lawler challenging The Miz to some degree. It wasn't as many pay-per-view buys as you thought with Lawler versus Miz, but still, they were able to buy somebody that age. So I think they could buy somebody that age, challenging for the title one last time. He's Ric fucking Flair. Can he recapture what he once was one time? You know, but not if he's a heel, which is, of course, what he wants to be. But,
well,
I mean, I think you do it once.
That's your problem is, yeah, that he does want to be a heel. But, I mean, I agree. I mean, again, I think you could double the buys and then some, you know, from 9 to 19, as you said. I just think that, but, and with Lawler, you're right, the shift a little bit there. But Flair is Flair.
Mm-hmm.
And Lawler's never really been positioned as Flair or
no,
as Hogan,
not.
Right? So I think it is a little bit of a different dynamic because, I mean, the part of it with Lawler is that you've never been the champ.
Yeah.
And, of course, Flair is the opposite. He's the guy with the most titles,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly. But it's with Flair, it's you used to be the best, but you're not. Could you still recapture it one last time?
Well, that's
so,
right.
There is a story there, but
there is.
It is. But then again, it all comes down to what is his real position, and this is what's difficult to ascertain.
Missionary.
What is his real position or standing with the company, and will he still be employed by them? Say in 3 months.
Yes.
So we'll see. We'll
there
see.
Is that.
One last thing. Speaking of Flair,
yeah,
and we're talking about
thing.
His money.
Money.
He's been
money,
selling
money,
replica
money,
belts
money,
and autographed stuff. He's whoring this stuff out now.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
But among it, he's really desperate for money. Of course, the guy's been divorced 75 times. More about as many times as he's had the world title, I believe.
I think so. One wife for every belt.
Yeah, but unfortunately, he is. This to me is just strange.
I have a better ratio than him.
Yeah, one for one.
Hmm. No. I've never been the champion.
Yeah, good point. That's a good point. Are you paying alimony?
Hmm. No. He's way worse financially than I am.
It's true.
I pay my own bar tab.
You pay your own bar tab.
Woo!
And the ex-wife's, and it's not a problem.
Where are we going after this drink anyway? But
I don't know, man.
Okay.
Anyways, let's get to that. Ric Flair is charging for 5 minutes of a phone conversation with him. You can have a 5-minute phone conversation with the 15-time world champion for $495 for 5 minutes, folks.
That's right.
It's a fucking steal.
$100 a minute, and you can talk to the 22-time heavyweight champion of the world.
Yeah.
Bullshit.
That to me is real pathetic. I mean, I for $4.95 for 5 minutes, I want a blowjob, and I want my windows done at the same time.
You know what, though? Yeah, well, they kind of.
Your
do.
Mom does not charge me nearly that much.
Yeah, but your windows get done. You can't see through them, but it's with Flair.
Well, that stuff's creamy.
You know what? If people pay it.
But will people? Can you picture fucking anybody paying it?
So what?
I don't know that fucking George Clooney could charge that.
Well, then what's the problem?
Yeah, I guess.
Well, I mean,
is the price you would pay? $15 for 5 minutes?
What, to talk
25?
To Ric Flair? I wouldn't pay anything.
Yeah.
Honestly, I wouldn't pay
anything. Diamond Dallas Page gave us on our interview almost 20 minutes, and we fucking didn't have to pay him a dime.
Well, that's the thing, right? The way that we went down, and we talked to him, we arranged it, and he was nice enough to give us the time. But with people like that, hey, exactly.
What are you going to get in 5 minutes?
And I've chatted with him.
You're going to ask him what it was like to win the title? Fucking listen to a shoot interview. What are you going to get out of a conversation?
Well, that's just
maybe
it,
some
right?
sex tips,
but
space down.
Hey, you know what?
60 minutes?
Woo! Every night. But there are, what, 300, other than Mexico, in Canada, in the United States, there's, what, 350 million people?
Approximately, yeah, I think even more.
So, you know,
somebody is going to do
your
it.
Your odds are good that somebody's going to do it. And that was, and how much, what's the startup cost for all this?
Yeah.
So if your startup cost is $20 to get this whole thing going, then, and someone's going to pay you $500, then, and you get two people to do it, hell yeah.
I would call them up. Actually, $495.
You almost made $1,000 right there. So, I mean, fine. Well, I agree that it's kind of, unfortunately, it's the wrestler, it's how the mighty have fallen here, and it's a sad tale. But if someone's going to pay it, take it.
You know what? I will charge.
I bet
any
the
of,
first.
Any
I
of
mean,
our,
you know the name of the guy that the first guy that calls him? Mark.
Mark
yeah.
Madden.
Yeah.
Mark
it could
Madden.
Be, yeah.
Mark
and the Shark of Wrestling there, Sean Williams will love that.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyways,
he is Mark Madden's number one fan.
It's I like to say. I mean,
fucking hates him and rightfully so. Anyway,
who shouldn't? Yeah,
yeah.
Exactly. Now, and he wrote his book with him, so he probably would. But you know, I'm 495. If you were to call him up and maybe go, "What are you wearing, Rick? Rick, what is my phone sex with me, Rick?"
I would
as a joke, just to fuck with him.
You know what?
It might be worth $50.
You know what I would call him? I'd call him like, "You remember the time? You had that match, the Clash of Champions." With Sting?
That would
be
good.
And he'd be like, yeah. It is awesome. Remember that? The Chris Farley show?
Yeah, that's great.
You remember the
fucking
time?
Great.
You said, Randy, Elizabeth was mine before she was yours?
It's awesome. That was awesome. I got that on DVD, eh? Do you know that I have all that? It's better than Chris Farley.
And you know what Chris Farley said after that? He said, no, I will pay your bar tab. But it's awesome.
It's great. All right, what was it we wanted to, I'm trying to recall. There was something else we had talked about just before the show about promoting or something we had out on the deck. What was that?
Oh, on your dick.
No, not my deck.
Oh, I don't know.
Me either. How pathetic is that?
Yeah.
Something upcoming. Something we were planning to do. Something some gimmick that some idea of something. Something we were planning to some that thing. No?
I do kind of remember now a bit. Oh! Yes, I remember.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, we do
professional
put
folks.
This show, even though we're WeTalkWrestling.com, we are member subscribers of F4W and Figure 4 online, WrestlingObserver.com, and every year, annually, they have Brian Alvarez and Vincent Verhey have created Super China Buffet Day.
Yes.
And it happens at the SummerSlam Sunday. So this year it'll be August the 14th. We've got a buffet that we have picked out. We have
a
couple
top
ideas. But
top three.
Yeah. But the thing is, if anybody is listening to this, living in Calgary or surrounding area, that you can get to Calgary, Airdrie, Okotoks, wherever you want to be, Strathmore, whatever. Yeah, Okotoks, Balzac, Westbridge, Red Deer, Iroquois, Barrhead, Pettigan, and Wobbleton. But as long as you get in that area and you want to come out to Super China Buffet Day,
you don't have to be a member of the Figure 4W. We want those people to join us as well. But just listeners of We Talk Wrestling,
wrestling
fans, we're going to get together and have a big Super China Buffet, talk some fucking wrestling, and have a great time.
That's the whole thing. Is that if you're listening,
and then we're going to watch SummerSlam, and hopefully some of you, we'll go watch it. I'll go watch it with you, so I don't have to watch it with Addy.
That would be awesome, actually. You'd
then I have to fucking record a post show.
These people come out. No, that's the thing. Is we're going to do Super China Buffet Day, the We Talk Wrestling arm from the F4W Empire, I guess.
Yeah.
As we are one small country of the F4W Empire. But if anybody is listening to this, wants to get to the air for Super China Buffet Day, Addy@WeTalkWrestling.com, please email this. We're going to put a post up on the board. Or add in the board if there already is one about Calgary.
You can contact us through our Twitter. You can contact us certainly through our own
website. But just email me.
Website.
And that's the best
email
way
to put it. Him is the best way.
Yeah, that's the best way. So let's not throw too many options out, because then I got to go scramble a few different places.
I'm just saying a few people might not listen to the show. Might be our Twitter followers, believe it or not. Not many.
What?
Yeah.
No. But anyway, so if you could do that, that would be perfect. We're just throwing that out there. I think that would be a great time. We'd love to get together and just, you know, drink some beer, have some food, and talk some wrestling.
Oh, wait till you see. We have all three restaurants we're thinking about serve products with lots of wheat.
Really?
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. A lot.
All right.
Are we going to bounce before we go OUT, I believe, the regular feature?
The Hulk Hogan Bullshit of the week, week.
You can keep it going longer. I know.
Wheat.
Nice. All right, Hulk Hogan's bullshit this week. Just before filming his television show, Hogan Knows Best, he said that we're probably the opposite of the Osbournes.
Mm.
We run a really tight ship.
Yeah. Well, that's his family, isn't it?
Yeah, that's what he's saying about his family. We're the opposite of Osbournes. We run a really tight ship.
Well,
John Graziano might not think so.
Yeah, I don't know. What's Ozzy Osbourne's kid's name?
Jack.
Yeah, Jack and Nick.
That's true.
A little bit different. Has Jack ever paralyzed anybody?
No. But,
man.
Jeff Hardy's dog died named Jack.
That's true. Makes a lot of noise, man. All right, well.
O-U-T.
O-U-F-N-T. So in the meantime, and in between time, that's it. Another edition of We Talk Wrestling. Good night, folks. I'm sorry. Before I sign off, I just want to say we talked about our email. It's at WeTalkWrestling.com. Or at We Talk Wrestling, rather, for Twitter. And then it is WeTalkWrestling.com is the main website where you can get all our blogs, all our shows. And we'd love to have you visit that. That'd be perfect. So in the meantime, and in between time, that's it. Another edition of We Talk Wrestling.